Let's stand for the reading of God's word. We're in 1 Samuel chapter number 3. Samuel is one of the premier and most outstanding of all the prophets of God. This guy just walked it every day from early childhood. Does anybody remember the story of Samuel and why he came from the Lord into play in the nation of Israel? Anybody remember who his mother was? Hannah. Remember the story of Hannah, who was being persecuted because she was unable to bear children, and her heart was deeply grieved and vexed. And as she took that ridicule, she ran into the temple and to pray and fell down before the presence of God. And the priest thought her to be drunk because of the way she was expressing herself loudly. It's appropriate to do that. I preached about that this morning and misjudged her. And at the same time, she was respectful of him, even though he was condemning of her, and explained to him what it is that was so messed up in her heart over the consternation of not bearing children. And then she makes this fantastic statement and pledge to God, "If you will grant me a child, I will lend him to you, Lord." And then as a little boy, she took him to the temple and turned him over to the priests to keep her vow and keep her promise to God that he kept with her. And this is the boy now getting ready to become one of the greatest men of God in all of Scripture. So your prayers are very important to God and to the outcomes of your children and their future. And here's what it says in 1 Samuel 3 and 19. "So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him." God had a great plan for this young man that this mother had prayed for so many years. "And let none of his words fall to the ground." How'd you like to have that said about your life? So, Father, let that be said of each of us. Let it be said of Calvary Christian Center. For we believe it is our time. We have entered into a moment in time, a kairos moment, a moment that you have entered in from heaven and eternity yourself, to do something and stir something not only in your people, in the church, but also to turn our culture back toward you. So we thank you that all of this tonight from your word will play into what it is you're planning for each of us, for all of us, and for our culture today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. We're declaring this year to be the year we take possession. I shared with you this morning a little bit about how writers are taking and making observation that there was a shift on the 21st of January that was marked by the unique inauguration of President Trump because of the spirituality that rode in on that entire event and the events surrounding it and the times of prayer and the people of God who stood and declared God's word and prayed in the name of Jesus. And a shift has happened, or a window has opened, and my goodness, we need to do something while we have this opportunity. And we need to do all that we can and not sit back, but be an organized, absolutely focused church that's determined to see the spiritual levels of our culture rise in the right direction once again. This is the year of an open door, an opportunity that we have not had in Lord knows how many decades in America. And as we move forward, I'm declaring, because God's word is indicating, that the famine has ended. We are entering a season of blessing and harvest. But with all of that being said, for sure there are going to be a lot of challenges, because those who take different positions other than biblical positions are not going to roll over they're going to be in heated opposition. A faith that has not been tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. It's a testing of our faith going forward, believing those things that God has ordained. And the faith of those who call on the name of Jesus will be tested in the next 12 months. Going forward with him, because of him, everything is possible. God can turn the direction of the ship of state of the United States. God is ready to get it done. The big question is, are we ready? Are we ready to get it done? Or do we think our work was over in November when we changed the course of the predictors of who was going to win those elections? And I picked up a tension as I'm seeking God's presence. And that tension always is an indicator that stuff is happening in the heavenlies. Because as we stand and declare these great and bold things that God wants to do, there will come challenges. There is a testing going on to see if we have that word in our hearts, if we are meaning this with God. Because the thief comes to do what? Steal, kill, and what? And as long as you have something worthwhile, he's going to make an attempt to come and get it and to steal it. David said, I have hidden your word in my heart. And once it gets in your heart, no one can take it from you. No one. Say, this is the season to move in and take possession. So we must have his word here, not here only, here. Once we have passed the tests, then God always does a quick work. Once the tests are over, then what God's going to do happens very rapidly. He will work for us, but we have to move in the direction that he has ordained. So 1 Samuel 3, and all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established as the prophet of the Lord. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. The Lord is walking with you in this year 2017. And I want to declare over Calvary Christian Center, you have been established to speak for the Lord, to have a voice in our community, to be able to, by your actions, your deeds, and everything that you do, loving, living, and leading like Jesus, to have a voice for the Lord. So Samuel grew, verse 19, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And look at this. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. This is a supernatural and prophetic day. We're observant of the spiritual leadership that now is all of us coming out of kind of a almost fog in our culture to be seen and heard, having a voice. What God is doing will cause ears to tingle. And what you're carrying in your spirit is to be birthed in the earth for a generation yet to be born. It's bigger than we comprehend. It's huge. That's why you're feeling cramped and confined. And for some, you have to kill the constricting spirit of Python because you're operating in a space too small for you. You're just trying to figure out how to burst loose. You're carrying something great, and it's birthed by the Holy Spirit. What makes it complicated, you're not carrying a fleshly thing. You're carrying a holy thing. And every woman who's ever carried a child, you know, before too long, you begin to get larger. And the expansion, you feel cramped. And you begin to walk a little differently. And because people know you are carrying. When Gabriel spoke to Mary, he told her that what she was carrying or would be carrying was holy. That holy one who was to be born will be called the Son of God. From human reasoning, what Gabriel promised seemed to be impossible, because Mary said to him, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" What God will speak concerning his dream for us will seem impossible to you. That is your first evidence that God is saying it, because you, in human perspective, it looks impossible. And that's the way God always does his thing, because he doesn't want any of us to get any credit for it. He gets all the credit for it. Amen? What he plans in you will overwhelm you. And if it doesn't do that, it's not from God. You're in a season where you're one step away from a major breakthrough from the Lord. And don't faint now, because, listen, you think you have to do this in your own strength? No, you cannot do it in your own strength. In him I live, I move, and have my being. That's why worship is so important. Worship opens the door for the Holy Spirit to minister faith to you while you're in your wait situation, while you're arranging things, fixing things, while he's ordering things, putting things together, and he's establishing it so that's something the enemy can't touch. And you get like hammer. You dance around. You can't touch this. Man. And so you declare, God will do something in this new season. The test will end, and God will do something fast, quick, and in a hurry. Now, you can be quiet all you want out here, but you're going to be jealous when we receive and you didn't. Amen? Now, the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. Look at what this kid faced when he stepped onto the scene. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. I'm thankful for a church that respects the revelation of God's word. You are fed well at Calvary Christian Center. There is little fluff and little puff. We are not in a common season. So break out of the mold of tradition. It does not work in our changing culture. And Calvary, you'll be held responsible for what you have heard from God's word. I'm grateful I don't belong to the church of Lazarus before resurrection. Amen? We've jumped out of the tomb. We're still hopping around a little bit. And we're ready to peel off the old dead grave clothes. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, because that was a no-no. That was never to happen. And while Samuel was lying down, listen, the word of God was rare. There was little revelation knowledge of God's truth. Vision is growing dim, and God is about to move his light stand, and God is about to ignite. And John the Baptist came preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus came after and fulfilled the predictions of John. John landed in Herod's prison in a hole in the ground, and the only water there came up from under the rocks. There was no stream in that dungeon where John had been pitched. There was no stream of water, but the dungeon was moist enough. Enough water accumulated in there. So John actually was baptizing some people in that dungeon. God always does the impossible. And while you think you're locked up, God will provide what you need so you can bless somebody else while you're waiting to be released. And if you feel you're locked up while you're there, help somebody. Problem we have is we get locked up or locked down, and all we're doing is whining about our situation. And God's always going to bring somebody around that needs your help. And look at them and see what you can do. Near the end of his life, John sends word to Jesus asking him if he's truly the Messiah. He's very depressed. Things have not gone well in the last few weeks for him. And John wanted Jesus to come there and release him. And Jesus answered and said to John's disciples, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. You see, in John's ministry, there's record of salvation, but there's no record of miraculous happening. But in Jesus' ministry, there's record now, not only of salvation, but of miracles happening all around him. And Jesus does not release John. John is eventually put to death, and God allows it to happen. Every church that preaches the gospel of the kingdom and deliberately and intentionally avoids signs, wonders, and miracles is going to struggle in these days. What causes a cultural collapse, as we have witnessed in our lifetimes, no visible witness of Christ. God said, you better go beyond a bumper sticker, a fish on your car, and t-shirts, and step up and stand up in the authority of Christ, spiritually resurrecting the dead, watching the sick get healed, and miraculous interventions by the hand of God. Amen? Because there was a passing of the torch from the ministry that was limited in John to the ministry that exploded in the life of Jesus, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now is the day for supernatural manifestations, so people will say, there is a God. They can see what you believe. And Eli the priest represented the old system, no longer impacting. He had allowed himself to get corrupted in the priesthood. He had compromised his ministry. He no longer spoke boldly for the Lord. He lost his passion for God's presence. He allowed his sons to pervert the holiness of temple worship. In incoming text, God's raising up a new generation with a fresh vision. That's what Samuel represented. Samuel represented a new generation raised up. A previous generation that had been sleeping. To take over from those who had taken a snooze. This has nothing to do with chronological age. It has everything to do with an awakening in your spirit. You are a part of a new generation, a Samuel being raised up with new vision and new perspective. And it's imperative because of the decay of our culture. We cannot operate like the church of yesterday. The devil is rejoicing because the churches in the Western culture have been lulled to sleep. And in the meantime, he's wrecked our culture. Good news, his time has run out. He has attempted to kill us off, but now we know who we are. And if we stand together, what a difference we can make. We were asleep, but we are awake now. Amen. We are awake now. It's like asking your kid to do something while you're busy or you're reclined a little bit, and they don't do it right away. And then you just get up and go do it yourself. And then they go, well, wait, I'll do it. And you say, no, I'm up now. Calvary Christian Center, I'm up now. We're going to put things in order. And now that you've got me up, I was resting. But now that I'm up, everybody's going to know I am up. Say, I am up now. Amen. And God's raising up a new generation with a new vision. And with that, God is raising up those who will declare with authority God's word in power. Amen? Amen? God's word in power. In that first service this morning, there was supernatural presence of the Holy Spirit. You could just feel the point about to explode and break near the end of that service as people prayed. Apostolic connotes a pioneer spirit of a fresh move of God. Calvary, you are the new generation with a new vision. Pioneer, someone who is first to move in and live in new territory. So let me say, Calvary, you are offered the opportunity to be among the first people in this generation to move in and possess a new dimension. You are sounding a little traditional out here tonight. I said you are offered an opportunity to occupy new territory with fresh vision. I hope somebody's going to grab that. The Holy Spirit will not send you in there with an old vision. He has exosketched you. He's turned you over and shaken you and started afresh. The Holy Spirit is giving you a fresh download. Amen? You represent the future, not the past. So come out of your yesterday. Relieve yourself from your hurt and pain of yesterday. You've been through a divorce. You faced a serious illness. Your credit got messed up. I'm here to tell you, you are stepping into a fresh move, a fresh breath, a fresh wind, a fresh start, a reset. Receive this. You have enough faith, enough courage to keep pressing. Be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the kingdom of God. You will press your way into a place of God some have only wished for or hoped for in their lifetime. You took a hit and another hit and then another hit, but you did not quit. You kept coming and you kept getting back up. Somebody say, I'm up now. In a new dimension. With a fresh vision. Why don't you take a praise break for a minute and just bless the Lord here. There's power in your praise. And when the church steps back into the supernatural zone, the distinguishing marks of the New Testament church, and God wrought great miracles among them, signs and wonders everywhere they went. When you step back into that supernatural zone, signs, wonders, and miracles, you will walk in them. They will accompany you as you teach and live out the Word of God. Your children will come back into order. Your bloodline will be in order. Our community will come into order. Our state will come into order. Grant it, Lord. We declare spiritual famine is ending. We're opening up to a great harvest. It's the abundant overflow of the Spirit of the living God. Amen. Tell your neighbor, we are in new places, doing new things. We are pioneers. Amen. So you speak God's truth with authority, without compromise, always, always packaged with the love and compassion of Christ. Amen? Amen? And you say to your friends, be healed, be delivered, be free by the blood of the Lamb in the name of Jesus. So I speak blessing upon you, Calvary Christian Center. So rejoice with me over your blessings tonight. Be blessed. Our ability to speak God's word is based on authority, and only people who know their authority are those who can use God's word as a sword. You're the pioneers of a new breaking wave of spiritual renewal in our land. I'm sure at times you've wondered, why was I born in this season and this time in the history of the human race? God could have chosen to send me out of eternity into time at any place that he wanted. Why now? Because you're standing on the precipice of one of the greatest outpourings of the Holy Spirit the world has ever witnessed. This is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel. And God's word tells us, in these last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. You get the privilege of living in this day and watching what God wants to do in our culture. And there are lessons to be learned about spiritual renewal, some with warning. Because in all the materials I've researched on the history of revivals, one of the great warnings was that people got off into little quirks and tangents and things that they made huge doctrinal issues over and became more important than the fundamental doctrines of the apostles. And this became the big deal, this emotional experience or this expression. And those became more important than the mission of the church, which then was to take the power of the Holy Spirit and translate that into reaching those who need to hear the message of God's love. And watching miracles and signs and wonders opens the heart to go, what is that all about? And all of a sudden now, then the reception of the gospel message, as it was in the time of Jesus, becomes easy for people to receive. There are warnings for us that we need to be careful of, because in any fast-moving expression of God's Holy Spirit, there are always dangers that people get into weirdness and wild stuff that has very little to do with the purpose and the mission of the church. When we were pastoring our previous churches, the only problems we saw or had, the big one, was with some of those who had been there over the years. Some of them, not all of them, because let me define this. Some of the oldest people in the church, as the Holy Spirit began to move, and people were coming to Christ faster than we could count them, they were my biggest cheerleaders, because they had lived through previous expressions of the Holy Spirit in the early days of the church, and they were rejoicing to see it happening again in their lifetime. It was kind of that second chair group. They'd been there a long time, but they had not witnessed the very first move of the Holy Spirit. And some of them, they had this authority attitude. So they felt like they could command anything that was going to happen. Anyone who came after them, who followed them as they were coming into the church, they were uncomfortable with them. And they gave instruction and warned them to obey, because we were here before you. I remember one deacon at the back of the church on a Sunday morning lecturing a young adult male about his appearance in the house of God, and making an embarrassing scene because he felt like he was not dressed appropriately to be in the presence of God and in the church. What did he look like? Well, he looked like a person from that era. He had long hair and flip-flops and some jeans and a shirt hanging out, and a little unkempt, but he wanted Jesus. He was there for Jesus. He'd already come to know Jesus. And his deacon was lecturing this kid. And so finally, at the end of that service, I walked up to the deacon and said, come here a minute. I said, learn this from me. Anybody who comes through those doors belongs to God, not to you. And the Holy Spirit will teach them what they need to know. They don't need you to tell them how to dress to come to church. So don't do that again. And they felt they could do anything like that. Their authority was, you don't know that we had come out of a split years ago, and you don't know what we went through to get to this place. And let me educate you on all that we had to endure to get to where we are now. And with all gratitude and thanksgiving for fighting the good fight of faith, we tip our hat. So why are you telling us this story? Because that's the negative side of authority. We need to exercise the positive side of spiritual authority, because you're pioneers in a spiritual dimension. Being the first, you have some spiritual authority. So you use it with humility to assist others who are new to the presence of the Holy Spirit. Because we don't ever want to take this for granted and slip back to what we were promoted out of. We're not going to get bogged down in church drama and gossip and criticism and undercutting and allowing personal preferences to stir strife. We are taking authority over any spirit contrary to the Spirit of God. Amen. So let me finish. The new generation was asleep, but they were in the house. Samuel was in the house. In the house, but asleep. Listen, you got to be in the house. You may want to take a snooze, but you got to be in the house. And the word says, and God called Samuel. And can I say this to you? God called you, Calvary Christian Center. You're not here by accident. And here's part of that vision. The new vision does not only rest on the shoulders of your pastor. Well, you're called to be the pastor. Mm-hmm. He's called you too. And if you don't do it, it will not get done. The problem in past generations, the mentality was the pastor has to do it all. Because the people didn't understand, they were called. And God called them and assembled them in the body for the purpose of the growth of the church. That good, huh? Well, let me read it to you. That way no one gets confused. We should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine. That's what happens in a lot of revivals because there has not been the maturation that was needed. By the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Because previous to that, he's telling us in the church that God gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Now listen, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together, but by what every joint supplies. That means everybody contributes. Everybody. According to the effective working by which every part does its share. Every part. Not just a few of us, not just your paid full-timers. Everybody does his or her share. What is the result of that? It causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. What happens? The church grows. And that's the will of God, that the church grows. He's called you too. The mentality was, well, pastors have to do it all. That's their job. And they only thought their thinking was their responsibility. They only thought they were called to show up on a Sunday morning and then go home for the rest of the week and coast into the next Sunday morning. And then with no testimony and little witness and just another person in the marketplace as the result. No, you are God's design. You are his own special people. You are called out of darkness to declare him. God called you. He called Samuel. When Samuel awakened from his sleep, he ran to the old system, Eli, and asked the old system, "Did you call me?" Some of you have missed your blessing by checking into the old systems. God asked you to start a business, and you started retreating to old systems. And you talked yourself out of it because you got scared. When God speaks, all he asks you to do is declare what he said and believe it. If you can speak it because he has spoken it into your spirit, it will manifest in you because you have that authority. When Samuel found out Eli had not called him, and Eli told him, just go back to sleep. How many times have you been awakened this month already? You got excited for a moment, but then you started to talk to somebody and you lost your joy. Do you know who the most influential person is in your life? You! Because you talk to you more than anybody. You say, well, Pastor, I really don't talk to a lot of people. You talk to you. And what did you talk to you about? Did you talk to yourself about past old stuff? Failed attempts? Or did you talk yourself, listen, about where you're going and what God has promises for you, what you heard God say in your spirit? Did you continue to rehearse what you heard God say and prophesy what you heard and speak it into the atmosphere instead of what you have been through? Oh, what I've been through. How do you speak to yourself? Because you are your greatest influence. What you're talking to yourself about matters. Ask yourself, what are you thinking? Then correct your thoughts. Because you can talk yourself out of God's plan for your life. Samuel went back to sleep, and God called him again. He got up and did the same thing. How many times will you do the same thing and expect different results? How many tonight, in all the newness that you're declaring, you're doing the same old thing in the marketplace of life? You even get out of bed the same way. You take the same route to work, and you arrived and don't even remember how you got here because you're on autopilot. We don't know how much we miss because of habits that are not necessarily generating any good out of them. When Moses saw the burning bush at first, he was not alarmed at his first glance because he had seen that happen in the heat of the desert before. But he noticed that this bush is not being consumed. There was a fire in it that did not burn up that bush. And when Moses noticed it, he moved toward it. Then it called him. How much have you missed in this new year that God has already had for you because you're too busy to slow down and observe? So say, Lord, whatever I missed, bring it back around in the next few days, because I am looking and I am watching. So Samuel goes back to sleep, and God calls him again, and he got up and he went back to the old system that God was done with. He was done with Eli. The Holy Spirit, listen, speaks to me even while I'm talking, and he drops nuggets in. Eli also represented an old relationship no longer valid. You might get stuck in an old relationship that's no longer applicable. You tend to think because they're saved, they're okay to hang around with. You might be equal in essence, but not function. You might want to write that down somewhere. You might be equal in essence, but not function. And where you are in your walk is not where they are. And God's planted a hunger in you for more. So the conversations have to come down to trivial things instead of kingdom things, because you have to dumb it down to have a conversation. Your spiritual excitement gets diminished and dampened. And you're fearful to speak to deeper matters because they might reject you and think you're a little bit, But that will just pull you back to sleep. At one time, you walked together and you shared vision together, but God continued to pull you forward, and they decided they could sit down and rest on what they already had. Some relationships have an expiration date. It's like eating Cheerios one day and finding out the milk was expired. You know what I mean? The old system, Eli, said to Samuel, hey, if you hear that voice again, say, speak, Lord, your servant hears and obeys. That old voice, no longer in touch with God, had memory of when he once was used and used to get excited over hearing the voice of God. And he remembered when he was once used by God. And some old folk, not in age, who used to be in the move of God, remember when they used to get excited about the Lord. But they're still stuck where they were. Heed this truth. When God speaks to you again, get yourself up and say, speak, Lord, your servant hears and obeys. So why am I preaching this truth tonight? That's what I asked the Holy Spirit. Why am I preaching this tonight, early in the new year? You see, the Lord had called to Samuel three times, now a fourth time. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. He called his name twice. We are in a time of double. God's going to pour out his spirit on us like he did Elisha. And when God stands up, get out of the way, it means he's getting ready to do something important in your life. God is calling you twice for double. And the conflict, God said, what I'm going to tell you will cause everyone's ears to tingle. What God is speaking to you, Calvary Christian Center, is so amazing. It's bigger than just God brought in enough money last month to pay my bills. It's going to be way bigger than that. God says, I know you have need of all these things. That's natural. I've got that covered. I am supernatural. And what I'm about to do in your life, when it is heard, ears will tingle. So when Samuel returned Eli said, tell me everything God told you. And people are going to ask you, what did God say to you? God's vastness upon your life will almost make you faint because of the impossibility in your flesh to do it. And you go, really? He said, I'm going to do it. If you can trust me, lean into me, hear what I say, and do what I say, I'll take it. That's why worship is so important. He simply desires that we surrender our will to his. But yet that is one of the most difficult choices you'll ever make, where in every area, in every emotion, in every circumstance, you keep surrendering your will to his will. We come to the end of ourselves in that process. Well, Pastor, why do we have an evening service? Because you're hungry enough to be here, and I'm called of God to do this. This is what I do. I am in the center of my assignment, doing what God's asked me to do in obedience to him. God wants us to worship. Why? Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We are to be spirit-filled in our worship. And when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, we sang it tonight, he's speaking in agreement for purpose. Churches are bogged down today. Well, so many committees and focus groups. And then we're going to form this study thing. And, you know, because this is what we've been doing for the last 30 years. And these are our traditions. While folk are perishing, while we have church. Tell your neighbor what God has for us is big. Calvary Christian Center, it's all God. God is simply looking for his faith to manifest in you. And what you carry is so big, you'll have stretch marks. And only God can birth it. And you trust him. And you keep speaking it because all the region will know God is at work in his church, establishing his kingdom with signs and wonders and miracles because you've been called for the next move of the Holy Spirit. Amen? You've been called for the next move of the Holy Spirit. You've been charged of God to be his temple for the move of the Holy Spirit. And we are not left out. I do not want to be left out. That's what the struggle was all about. It's been preparing a people, not just for now, but for future generations. That was the call in Samuel's life. God has called you a chosen generation. The chosen. That's a special name given to you who serve the Lord. And one of its definitions means this. The chosen, they show up. Others quit. They go back into the old system. Comfortable church. Nobody's going to challenge me today. If even in church, maybe once a month, devil attempts to get you to leave God, but the more he tried to push you away, the closer you were pushed toward the Lord. Be exceedingly glad that the Holy Spirit put a hook in you, said you'll never be satisfied with anything less than the fullness of my presence in full operation in your life. And so you'll keep pressing and pushing through faith and patience, expecting in every service for it to be the one. Expecting every morning when you get out of bed and you spend your time alone with the Lord, this will be the day of the breakthrough. This will be the day the answer arrives. And in that process of that test, patience and faith, when you grow discouraged and your emotions feel like they're drained, and you got more no's than yeses, yet you get back up and you declare who you are in Christ. I am a child of the living God. I am an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I am an overcomer. I am his own special people. I am a part of a chosen generation. I am a part of the royal priesthood. And we overcome our adversary by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We are exceedingly glad. Amen. So, who is ready for pioneer breakthrough and leading the way with scores of other churches that have decided, yeah, we had an influence that was great in this last election, but we know we cannot afford to sit back and coast now and go back to the ways we had for the last 30, 40 years. Now that we know that we've got some teeth and we've got some traction, now we need to stand in the place God's called us to and press forward till we watch great shift happen back toward the principles of godliness once again in our culture and in our society. Amen. And how many want that for your children and your children's children? Then stand with me right now. Stand with me right now and lift your hands and ask God to pour out his great Holy Spirit upon you.